This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, Brian, I got a confession to make. I stopped watching the finals game last night, game four, and I did watch the Rockies, though. You know, never thought in a million years I'd choose the Rockies over an NBA finals game.
I'm shocked by this.
I know, and I've got a story to go with it, too, because I turned 40 next week. Last night I felt 97, so we'll get to that, Brian. But the Rockies got us one step closer, too, so we had Knicks completing the most epic of comebacks in the NBA Finals. I think it was the biggest comeback in Finals history, the second biggest comeback in playoff history. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, Sean Payton renewed. Kevin Lytle going to join us from the Coloradoan. All that and more coming up. Brian's with me today. Brian Gary. We got the BR connection. Whole show starts now. No, I did not fire Michael, really.
No, he walked out.
He walked out.
Slowly.
He slowly walked out. We had a rough go yesterday. He was in a different mode yesterday, even more so than normal. But I told him to take the day to think about his thoughts.
Is that what happened?
Go skip some rocks at the lake and just wear a heavy kind of coat and just think about his life for a while. So that's what he's doing today. He's feeding the pigeons and sitting on the park bench and all that. So we've got the Brian Gary running the show back there.
Hey, honestly, it's always great to sit in on this show. This is the best sports show on the radio, and to occasionally get to jump in. I just love listening to you talk about sports, but to actually get to sit in here now and then, it's fun. We've got a great family here. Micah steps out. If I'm the closest thing to Micah, what a mark I've made.
Hey, I said, dreamt of doing radio my whole life and had some fun doing different things over time, but at the end of the day, I sit here every day and look across the glass at Michael Kirkpatrick as my partner in crime. But no, we're looking forward to getting Michael back tomorrow. But
no
of course,
doubt.
Love when Brian steps in. All right, Brian. So here's where we go. Spurs are up 27 at halftime against the Knicks last night.
Yeah.
So I decide, hey, we're gonna check out the Rockies game and see. Okay, it's a tight game. It's 1-0 throughout this process. So I'm thinking, this one's done. I'm going to stay focused on the Rockies so we can keep pushing on in our dirty 30. And it was awesome. TJ Rumfield hits a 2-run home run to give the Rockies the lead in the bottom of the eighth. And, of course, the Cubs score with a solo home run in the top of the ninth. But then the Rockies make a couple of epic plays. And you get a guy like Sterling Thompson who, I mean,
I have no idea. I met him at IHOP a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
He was a great waiter. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to give this baseball thing a try.
And I said, you go, kid.
Oh, wow. And the Rockies end up winning after Thompson's single to right allows Sullivan to get in and score. And the Rockies win 3-2. They win the series against the Cubs. They play later today. We got a short show today.
Yeah.
And we're four wins away. So that was exciting. And so I'm sitting there watching the game. I pull up my phone. I pull up the Knicks-Spurs game just to see how it's going. And the box score thing, for some reason, wouldn't finish loading on my phone.
Mm.
I don't know. I've been working in the yard a lot. I don't know if maybe I got dirt in my phone. I have no idea how technology works. So I'm going, all right, I'm going to check. Oh, crap, I forgot. I have DirecTV. I can't just be a normal human being and go watch it on ABC. I can't just go there because they have their thing. So then I'm like, I got to go to Disney or Hulu or ESPN, whatever it is. So I click it. And in this process, I don't know if the game's over yet. I don't like to get on social media and spoil it in my mind.
Yep.
So I'm staying away from that. We have a group text, and that is a wild situation all by itself. Brian text, amazing game, from talking about the Knicks Spurs. So I'm going, and I just wrote back, because I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch the whole thing. So I just wrote back, yeah, it was, or something. And I'm like, I'll get back to him later. I want to figure out. I want to ignore the text. I don't want to hear anything. So I get on. Finally, my wife helps me navigate. Again, 97. Navigate through ESPN, Hulu, whatever. Pulls up sports. There it is. And I see post-game report. And there's Ernie's face and all that stuff. So I'm thinking it's kind of like when you're on DirecTV and you're watching a game. And if it goes to overtime or it goes longer than they expected, on your guide, it shows whatever the next show is going to be.
Yes.
Whether it's post-game or Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
But you know the channel, so you click it and you're still on the game. So I'm thinking, in this new app world, maybe that's the same thing. So the first thing I see is post-game report with Ernie and Shaq and Chuck and Draymond and all that stuff. So I click it thinking, okay, it's going to bring me to the game. I get to the post-game, make a mistake. As it's loading, I look at my phone box score, and I'm confused, and I click post-game, and they're interviewing Stephon Castle, Spurs player. And I'm like, why are they talking to him? Did the Spurs must have won this game. They must have just finished it off. Maybe the Knicks made it interesting. So I'm like getting ready to go do some stuff, get on social media, and Brian shoots me a text and says, biggest comeback in finals history by the Knicks. And I'm going, why are they interviewing Castle? This makes no... Oh, I'm watching a post game from 1947, apparently.
Yeah, George Mikan had a great game.
Why is Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, and Tony Parker? And I'm watching this is... And I'm like, why are... Okay, first off, it just pisses me off. Why, when I clicked sports, is that the first thing they show is the post game, and it's that post game, and it's not even the current post game of the Knicks' epic comeback. So I'm pissed off. I looked at my wife. I said, I just missed the greatest NBA Finals comeback in history to watch a 25-42 team get their 26th win. This beard and hair, it's frying my brain, Brian. It's frying. I almost called you Michael. That is how.
That's how bad it
that's
is?
That's how bad things are getting. So thank you for saving me from getting on X and saying, wow, what an epic, what a shutdown performance by the Spurs. Because I was very confused last night.
I'm shocked by this.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
But I can totally understand flipping. At halftime, I switched thinking, you know what? Let's get caught up on the show we were watching together, and I'll check in later and see. But it got, you know, it was about 10 minutes later. I switch over, and it's just tip in the second half.
Yeah.
And I just had a feeling that there was going to be a run. I knew it was going to get closer. And when they got within, you know, they were down by 29, and then they, you know, they pulled it to within 18. As soon as it got under 20, I'm like, this is far from over. This is far from over. And to watch not only the Knicks, it's not like the Knicks did anything exceptional to me except kept playing basketball. Well, just kept playing their game, and the Spurs imploded.
Yeah, and again, just going back and watching highlights and reading up on everything, the Spurs, why were they, and you were watching, why were they taking so many threes during this comeback run that the Knicks were on? And they were cold. They were like 3 of 17 in the second half.
They totally lost it. You could feel the heat leave them. And then it was just really poor decisions going with poor execution on the shots.
Yeah.
Bad shot choices. And I still did you watch the end with Fox?
I did see the end, yes. I went back and watched the end with De'Aaron
what
Fox.
What in
up
the
one.
Hell was he doing even yeah. attempting a shot?
I don't know.
Run around. You've got the lead.
Yeah. I mean, he...
It was insane.
I can see, you know, if nobody's there at all, and but by the time he got in close to the paint or the free throw line extended area, you can tell there's going to be someone there, and he's bigger than you. So he's yeah, maybe you get a foul, But also, you might just get your shot blocked, and they're going to swallow their whistle in that moment. And of course, the Knicks go down, and OG Anunoby is a hero of the game. Now there's clips of, because I guess De'Aaron Fox was really bad in the second half of that game. Not
terrible.
Just that final play.
Terrible.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I've got to think that at halftime they got the worst speech ever given by a coach.
Yeah.
It just fell apart, and they got out-coached, outplayed. I think the youth of the Spurs really showed down the stretch there. Those were not veteran moves.
No, and Mitch Johnson, I'm curious, what was that speech at halftime? It reminds me of a time when I was in high school, Brian, playing basketball. And it was my senior year. And we had an old assistant coach that left the team years ago, whatever, a couple of years before that, went and got a different job. Well, we happened to be around, so he came to the game. We hadn't seen him in 2 years. So we're playing this team, and we're smoking them, just absolutely beating them down. And we get to halftime, and the assistant coach is there with my current head coach, and the assistant goes, "Pretty special group you got here, coach. Pretty amazing." And my coach got red in the face, and he's like, "What are you doing? We came out and we got our ass kicked in the second half of that game and lost." But I'm serious. Was that what Mitch Johnson was doing at halftime? Like, look at you. Look at you guys. You came in here, hostile environment, and you're going to take two in New York with this fan base that is beating the hell out of your fans. We're going to take, like, what was that message? Just no killer instinct by the Spurs.
None, and I was commenting yesterday that it's neat to see Wemby have that dog. I'm seeing that in him. He was showing fight. He was doing all that. And then came this game where it just turned into a clown show at the end. Mm-hmm. I think you can say that all the way across the board for everybody. You know, I thought Castle and everyone had been playing above their years and what I thought even their talent level. You know, in this, but to see it all crushing down like that and all those happy New Yorkers just broke my heart.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because the Knicks story is kind of cool. The fan base is ruining it for me. You know, M. Night Shyamalan or Tyler Shamelholz or whatever his name is. Faith, help me out again. I can't think of his name. He's courtside all the time. And Ben Stiller's there. And then I get like, the fan base is fighting the Spurs fans, and then you have to have Ben Stiller put a tweet out, "Guys, we don't hit each other, we don't do that stuff." I'm like, hey, you guys stop beating each other up because Ben Stiller said don't do it. I don't think that's going to help. But the Knicks' actual players, I find myself rooting for them. And this run they went on, I go back to that the Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland. They're down 20. At one point to Cleveland, they come all the way back and they force overtime in game one, and they never look back after that. Throttled them the rest of the way.
I couldn't help but have kind of flashbacks to the Nuggets Timberwolves game seven a couple years ago as I was watching this collapse.
Yeah.
Where there is no way anybody in the betting world or anywhere was looking at halftime going, yeah, Knicks are going to.
No,
I mean, even the most diehard of fans, you couldn't have seen that. But as you watched it, you could feel it, and you knew it was going to be overtaken. The shot choices, you were talking about the threes. San Antonio just absolutely destroyed themselves. And they've done that in a couple of these games. And that's where, you know, we talk about them maybe being a year ahead of where expected to be. I think that is what can keep them from winning an NBA title.
And this is the kind of loss this game, because that, again, there's a huge difference between 3-1 and 2-2.
Oh.
That, obviously, that could certainly lead the Knicks to winning this series. That's the kind of loss that sticks with you for a long time. And if you fast forward down the road 10 years, you look back and go, that maybe was reset the course of history. I don't know. Maybe the Spurs bounce right back. And maybe even win this series. I don't think so. But, you know, maybe they're a contender for years to come. I believe with Wemby there, they're going to be certainly in the mix. But this is a demoralizing franchise loss, not just the night of or for this specific playoff series.
Well, it depends on how they rebound from it, because they had a couple of nights like that earlier in the series where there were games they should have won, had, and then got let go at the end. But each night they've come back and been so strong to start with that they win me over. I'm not writing them off yet.
No.
Because I think they take this next game in San Antonio. They've shown they can win in New York, and then anything can happen in a Game 7 back in San Antonio. I'm not throwing in the towel yet on this thing.
Yeah, we're gonna find out a lot about Wimby and where his star trajectory is at this point. Thank you, Faith. Timothée Chalamet. I keep calling him M. Night Shyamalan. Close, Brian.
It's so close.
Faith says, fans are horrible. Did you hear that they waited at the hotel of the Spurs and booed them and someone threw an egg at Wemby's head? Like, what are we? I didn't hear about that.
I heard about the egg to Wemby. I didn't know they were all gathered out there. But this is,
dude,
we have gone too far. Fans, you are ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I can't do it. And that's why I think everyone's like rooting kind of for the Spurs, even though what sucks about it is Mike Brown's revived his career.
Yes.
Jalen Brunson and Anunoby, who was battled injuries most of the year, didn't even know how he was going to be throughout these playoffs to have that kind of game. Karl Anthony Towns, reviving his career too. Not that he was bad with Minnesota, but he's kind of becoming more of a household name right now. Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson coming in off the bench. It's actually a pretty good group.
No, it is. I don't dislike the Knicks. I dislike New York.
Yeah.
But I don't dislike the Knicks, and I think the story would be fantastic of them winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it really would be a great story.
I mean, and the Knicks are one of those teams that are good. This is good for the NBA.
Absolutely.
If they're good. Because Boston, L.A., it was rough when L.A. was bad for a while after Kobe. But the Knicks are one of those teams. They're like the Cowboys. They don't have the championships or anything like that. What do they have, two in their franchise? But there's still something about the Knicks that makes them part of basketball royalty. They've had so many great players, and just basketball in New York is big. So this is actually really good for the NBA if the Knicks go on to win this thing. But yeah, the fan base is kind of screwing that up. 22 minutes after the hour. Brian, we got some big news, too. We'll get to a little bit later on the show. Sean Payton has signed a contract extension with the Broncos. Apparently, there are some serious issues about where the Broncos are looking to build that new stadium, too. I want to get into that a little bit later. We have Kevin Lytle joining us. Big soccer guy. Or do I have to
Kevin's
say,
always been.
Do I have to say football, or can I just say soccer?
I think you can say soccer. Okay. That's what I've been doing, but I've been catching myself wondering the same thing.
Well, you got Tanner now, and you know how Tanner is. He gets interested in something for like half a second. And then it's bam, it's like the biggest thing in the world. So I heard you guys going all in on that today. And Tanner certainly strikes me as the guy that's like, no, it's football now. He's that guy.
Oh, he is.
He's become that guy.
Well, we've seen him become a hockey snob.
He became a hockey snob. Yes, he's done those things. He's a chameleon when it comes to sports fandom. So we'll get into that later on. Top stories of the day. And yes, the Rockies are getting us dangerously close. I'm over.
You're
it.
Shaving this weekend.
I'm over. And you know what? We made fun of you the other day when you said, mm-hmm. I did the math, and if the Rockies win the next six, you're done. And it was correct, and so far, that is taking hold.
Yes, it is.
Because they have won the first two of those six.
I think what you're learning, Brady, is I'm pretty damn amazing.
Yeah, definitely when it comes to the mathematical equations, because you mapped it out, and you said, all right, this is how it's going to go. And so far, so good. Can they get another win today?
Yes.
And get us down to 23 minutes after the hour. Lytle will join us at the bottom of this one. And then we're off today at 12:30. We'll look for the Rockies to sweep the Chicago Cubs with all those Cubs fans in attendance. This would be so great. And you know Dick Monfort absolutely loves this. We'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Another prep season in the books, and soon we'll be looking ahead to high school football season. Hear Coach speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, want to let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and want to leave my old life behind. Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
Brady. Brady.
Thursday night special.
Thursday night with Brady.
We could have a little Thursday night special coming up at 1:10 today. Pick the Rockies to win this bad boy and get us one game closer, get us to the final three countdown.
I feel I was correct when I said the things I did.
That would be amazing.
It would be, because it rarely ever happens. But I have been really good on picking the exact number of Rockies
and
wins.
And Broncos. Pegged that last year.
Yeah, pretty good.
What was your number for the Rockies this year? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Tanner had it written down somewhere.
I don't remember.
I thought
mine
it was 65.
Either. 65? Okay. And I think, what'd Tanner do? Did he go higher?
I think he was like 64, and maybe you were like 66. We were all
I just think I went somewhere in between. I thought I went somewhere between you guys.
And you may have done that. Yeah. I just know we're all right there.
Well, let's get rolling here, man.
Yeah, let's blow past that.
I got to tell you, like, I like Warren Schaefer a lot.
I do too. And is he not the most buff Major League Baseball manager?
He is. And Brian, he also, I heard this today, he kind of does sound like a hockey coach. He kind of sounds like Bednar, because he'll call them the boys, and he has nicknames for everybody. And there's an edge they're playing. There's a chip on their shoulder. Now, again, they're 26-42, but they're still much better than where they were last year. This is a group that I think knows where they are. They know who they are. But there is a sense of, like, we're going to fix this together. You don't have a bunch of randos on the team that are like, can't wait till this one's over so we can move on and get my agent on the line, figure out where to go next. There is a different sense, just from the outside looking in, that this group truly believes we're going to do this and we're going to do it together. There is something cool about it.
No, there definitely is. And I was talking this morning that it feels like in the NFL, we've seen a rash of like first-time or very young coaches seems to be the way the trend is moving, and these guys having success right away. This is the first in Major League Baseball that I'm seeing where it's like the Rockies are trying that with Schaefer.
Yeah.
You know, this young guy that, you know, nobody else in the league would really know of.
Yeah, or hire as a manager.
Exactly, but he has this opportunity with some breathing room to try to figure out a franchise that had been so bad. And it does kind of feel like that young group together with him totally respected as a leader, it does kind of feel like a hockey situation.
And, you know, you're seeing different guys step up. You know, T.J. Rumfield, who's kind of been struggling. He's had a great rookie season, but he's been struggling a bit. And he hits that two-run home run, puts this game upside down. Eastside Chris says, so with Sean's new contract, looks like Davis is out on the near future head coach. I got thoughts on that, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But we have Kevin Lytle joining us coming up next from the Colorado. And You had Derbs on.
Yes.
Derbs is such a unique creature. He is a specialist in so many areas, and I didn't know for the longest time he was a specialist when it comes to soccer.
I didn't until this morning, to be honest.
So he's educating you guys. He's educating our audience. And Kevin Lytle, we've all known this, diehard soccer guy, in the Coloradoan this morning. He actually put together a World Cup guide for newbies from your college football reporter. So we'll get to that a little bit up next. Kevin Lytle will join us. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining us now on our first Advantage Hotline, the Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, you are, I love this write-up because this, I felt like this write-up in the Colorado one was for me. Was basically a World Cup guide for newbies from your college football reporter. I know absolutely nothing about soccer or football or the World Cup. Turns out our very own Derbs here, the dude down the hall, Dustin, he's a big soccer guy. He's all into this. So he's very curious to see how you know, how you think things are going to go down. But you are diehard. You'll be in here doing stuff with us, and you've got games pulled up. You are a diehard, I think.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a junkie, that's for sure. It's like I said when I wrote, you know, it's the, you know, obviously my job is very fun and privileged in a lot of ways, but I don't tend to get to go to or watch games, you know, as a fan, you know, quite as much as younger Kevin got to. So soccer is the outlet where, I watch a lot of games, probably more than maybe I should, but I definitely watch a lot.
It is actually kind of interesting for you because obviously you being a sports reporter, I mean, you gotta take in all things CSU. You're not just doing the game stuff. You're there late, obviously. You're early for the games. You're late after. You're at every single practice. You're traveling. And you don't probably get that real chance. You and I have had this discussion before, to just be a fan. Like, you're not necessarily rooting for CSU to win or lose or whatever. I suppose this has probably got to be your outlet where you can fully escape your duties as a Colorado State beat writer and just be, like me, you know, an obsessed loser fan, Kevin. So welcome, you know, to the club.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, some of the Denver teams, you know, I don't really cover, quote unquote. So I get to enjoy those, you know, from a bit more of a fan side. Yeah, certainly the college stuff is all work side, you know, fun work, but work, you know, not rooting. And yeah, soccer's one I can be basically totally disengaged. Even the Denver teams, you know, I know a lot of the media that covers them. I do some stuff here and there. You know, it's hard to not have some, you know, the media side engagement there. The soccer is one I, 100% just fandom. I read the stories, listen to the podcasts, watch the games. I'm just, you know, your regular old fan following the teams in the soccer football world.
Kevin, I'm sure you realize the person that called you to get you on the phone is not Michael Kirkpatrick. We actually fired him ahead of this interview, knowing you were going to be on to talk about soccer. So just to avoid any awkwardness, we got rid of him, man. So you're welcome.
I had just assumed that Micah was just taking the next 6 weeks off so that he wouldn't miss any games.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, like, I'm not even into this, but the fact that he hates soccer so much makes me actually want to watch this. So here I am, Kevin. I'm asking you. I'm just a guy standing in front of another guy, but through the phone, asking him, how do I soccer? How do I be a fan of soccer this year? What should I do, Kevin? Give me the training wheels, man.
Yeah, I mean, I had, you know, my column was, you know, somewhat sass, somewhat serious, you know, a little bit of everything. But I do think one of the fun ways, you know, kind of like Olympics, I think, you know, if you're an American and want to follow the U.S. team, that's always fun. Kind of like, you know, I think a lot of us watch all sorts of random Olympic sports and, well, I don't know anything about this, but go Team USA. So I certainly think, you know, following, you know, your country and hoping they do well is a good place to start. But I always think it's fun. There's so many, you know, maybe random countries a lot of people may not know much about. Man, find one, adopt it. Root like heck for them, because it's sort of a low stress way to get into some of the games. And hey, if they lose, you're not really going to be distraught. If they win, you can, you know, puff your chest and be like, hey, look, I told you, you know, I knew Curacao was going to go upset somebody. So I always think it's fun to sort of adopt some of the little guys. And then I think one that is cool is if anyone gets a chance to go to like a good watch party, collective viewing of a big event, whether it's soccer, football, you know, baseball, whatever, basketball, a big watch party can be pretty fun. So anyone that has a chance, I strongly encourage it. I'm going tomorrow night for one, for the first U.S. game. And yeah, I just think it's a good time.
Oh man, and good for you. I'm happy for you, dude, that you're gonna be loving this. And I like that you put this story together, different from a lot of the things you do typically, but it was kind of a way to say, hey, I'm inviting you in. I'm not gonna beat you to death with everything I know, but I'm also gonna tell you just a few tidbits here and there. Derbs is waiting on pins and needles back there because he goes, you're having Kevin on to talk World Cup. I'm gonna send you my full rundown of things and see how it lines up. So Derbs wants to know, Kevin, like, who are the big dogs? Who are the favorites here? Who do you like?
I mean, I think Spain is my, you know, favorite, you know, likeliest team to win. I think France is the most talented, but I like everything Spain's doing, but there's a little needle in my brain that thinks Portugal might go win it. I think it's the most talented Portugal squad has had. The Cristiano Ronaldo last dance is here for the World Cup, and Messi got one last time. Maybe it's Ronaldo's turn, but I think Spain and France have to be the favorites, and then probably Portugal, England, Brazil, Germany are kind of the next group behind them with a chance.
Yeah, Derbs put on his like top tier France. He has Argentina and he has Portugal there as well. Yeah. And so you guys, next time you see each other, man, I'm guessing you guys are just going to be back there, you know, reliving old war wound stories about soccer.
I knew I liked that guy. I knew I liked him.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And when did you get into soccer? Did you grow up a big soccer fan, or did this just happen randomly? Well, give me the background here.
Yeah, pretty much whole life. I mean, you know, like a lot of folks, I, you know, started playing basically as soon as I could walk. But it just really stuck with me. I played for forever. I had an older brother that he also played, so we were around it. And then kind of as we were kids is when it started becoming more available on TV in the States. So into that, I actually went to a few games in the 1994 World Cup, which I only vaguely remember. I was really little, but I have some vague memories. So I'm sure all that kind of blended together. And yeah, it's just kind of carried on for forever.
Well, again, appreciate you putting this together. And how about the USA side of things, Kevin? I mean, do they stand a puncher's chance here, or what does that look like to you?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic that they'll go on a little run. I think got to get out of the group stage. That's the absolute bare minimum. I think ideally at least round of 16, but I don't know. I'm feeling cautiously up. Maybe it's just naivety and excitement about the tournament starting, but I feel like a quarterfinal run can be done here.
All right, Kevin. Again, being the idiot here. Group play. What does that mean?
So yeah, they basically break it into 14 groups, and this is the biggest World Cup it's ever been. It's 48 teams now. It was 32 the last several times. So that's now whatever the math is, 12 groups of four. Basically, just play a round robin format. So everyone in the group plays each other once. 3 points for a win, one for a tie, none for a loss. Goal difference can come into play too. So if you're up on someone, it's worth your time to try and really batter them. And then, you know, obviously the first goal is to advance. The top two from every group are guaranteed to advance. And then the eight best third places can advance or do advance. So it can, you know, there's going to be some kind of complicated tie breaks and stuff involved in some of those third places, but how you do in your group kind of depends or will base your first knockout round matchup. So you want to win the group because then you'll get a third place team, which theoretically should be an easier knockout game. So yeah, it all kind of ties together, but the most simple thing as always is winning is good. Best to win and win big.
That's most of the time how I just watch any sports. If I'm confused at all, Kevin, I just go win, score more, find way.
Yep, exactly. Win in doubt, win. Score, win.
Yeah, Kevin, appreciate you going here on this. Hey, obviously, the other stuff going on, you know, the college sports world is just absolutely nuts. What did you think of Brendan Sorsby, that whole situation?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, not betting on your team is like the golden rule of sports, any sport. You know, that's not a college thing. It's a everywhere thing. So to have that and then, yeah, the judge ruling that, I want to say it said no big deal, but it kind of said no big deal. It's a huge deal. It's going to have big implications. I also don't think it means college football is ruined and everything is bad and everything's going to be ruined. I do almost wonder if this is actually a big negative that could lead to a positive of this is such a dramatic ruling that it could maybe accelerate some people to actually maybe decide, well, shoot, maybe we do need to work together, get some frameworks in place. So again, maybe I'm being optimistic, but yeah, that's a big deal. Texas Tech is handling it embarrassingly, but that's probably not a big shock.
Yeah.
But I guess, again, maybe I'm being optimistic, but maybe this will be the the lighting the fuse to basically blow everything up and build actual framework that we need in college sports.
Yeah, that I can definitely kind of go on that side too. Like, hey, this is just so obviously bad that it might bring some real structure to what's happening in college sports. And you said it, man, like Texas Tech, they had a chance to kind like again. I get where they're coming from. They felt like they had to go to bat for Sorsby when the NCAA first said, no, you're not playing. And they kind of said, well, we're going to appeal that because maybe they don't want to get sued. You know, Sorsby's suing people now. So maybe they don't want to get sued. But then to double down yesterday, you got your athletic director coming out saying, you know, hey, he's going to be in rehab for this and we'll see how that goes. And then you hear that, hey, Texas Tech is prepared to fight if the idea of not playing us or anything like that happens, better be ready because we got money to throw around and we will go to court. We will go to battle.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I totally understand at the start. You have to fight, you know, a little bit. It's recruiting of, you know, you have to show to potential future players like, hey, we'll fight for you. So I get that part. Like, that's kind of just playing the game. But now, I mean, even I forget if his AD or coach or whoever said, well, he didn't murder anyone. It's like, yeah, no one's saying he murdered. But just because there are worse things you can do doesn't mean it's not a bad thing. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But just the collective response. I mean, this is maybe the first thing we've seen in quite a while where pretty much everyone in college sports agrees. Like, is there anyone outside Texas Tech who's like, oh, no, this is actually good? So, like I said, that's where maybe my optimism comes in of maybe this will actually accelerate some change because everyone, this was a pretty big alarm bell, it seems, of like, oh, boy, maybe we do need to get something going.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, I haven't really seen many people say that, oh, no, this is fine. And if they do, you know, usually they still kind of admit that the gambling on sports thing is wrong. Kevin, always appreciate you, my friend. Go have some fun, dude. I mean, this is the fun time of year for you. You're not as busy. So just go enjoy the World Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be at Micah's watch party. I'm sorry. It sounds like you guys didn't get the invite to that.
Oh, that's what's going on. Soccer fan, and Kevin gets the invite before all of us.
Yep. So yeah, it's going to be a blast. Hope everyone who maybe are dipping their toes in the first time get to enjoy it a little bit as well.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate you, man. Really did enjoy that write-up by you. And just thanks for all you do, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
You bet. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Texter here from the 970. Scotland versus England would be another one, potentially.
That'd be a great one to be in one of those bars watching.
I'm going to obviously USA, but Scotland. Let's go Scotland.
All right, I'm going Norway.
Okay. All right,
it's my family heritage. It's where my lineage is. We're going Norway.
Maybe.
USA, Norway.
How about Ireland? Is Ireland any?
I like Ireland.
Is there a soccer team?
There's got to be. I mean, seriously, what else are they doing in the bar?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I'm more Irish, Brian. Yes, I just Googled, does Ireland have a soccer team? Yes.
Yes.
The robot actually told me I'm an idiot. Yes, Ireland absolutely has soccer, is what it said.
Yes.
It doesn't just say correct. It says, yes, they absolutely have soccer.
Well, didn't the Vikings play over in Scotland? Didn't Mike Danson go over there?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they were in a soccer stadium.
So I told you, Brian, I know nothing about this. The most I know about soccer is what Ted Lasso taught me. And that is pretty much that he didn't teach me anything. He was a football coach that they brought in to coach soccer.
And you should put up a sign to touch as you walk out.
I should.
Yep.
So, okay, let me change that. It's not Scotland. It's going to be Ireland. Is there anybody from Ireland that's good? Anybody good that we should know about?
Oh,
let me know.
Yes. Matty Fitzpatrick.
Matty Fitzpatrick. Oh, my goodness. Texter from the 970. The other fun thing about soccer is, you know, geography is the potential geopolitical matchups. Can you imagine if the United States ends up playing Iran in one of the later rounds.
Oh, I have thought of that.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Kind of puts that real world feel to it, maybe.
It does, and it makes you appreciate back in history what Jesse Owens did and those kind of things, going, you know, Germany and all that.
No question.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. All right, 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break here, wrap up hour number one. Final hour of the show will be short, but we're going to get into Sean Payton's contract and kind of go over, you know, the latest from Texas Tech's head coach and what he had to say about Brendan Sorsby. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Two teams, no parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
And just like that, I'm out with the World Cup, Brian, because Ireland did not even make it.
Oh, they're not. So you're already eliminated?
They're out of contention for this, apparently.
I'm really sorry that happened. First the Nuggets and now Ireland.
Yeah, this is rough. It's
been
tough a rough
time
go.
For you, man.
See, this is why I don't adopt new sports, because I already get my heart broken enough. And now, you know, I'm trying to get into this, and I was a diehard fan of Ireland, like 4 minutes ago.
Oh, we saw that five-minute stretch you had there.
You could ask me anything, and I'd answer it. but now they're out, and I don't know. I guess back to the Rockies. We'll get back there. They play at 1:10 today. So we'll have that coming up for you here right on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Coming up next, we'll skip top stories of the day because I want to spend some time on the Sean Payton stuff. And I want to get your thoughts, too, on the altitude stuff from yesterday with Marlo Hastings and my guy, Chris Dempsey, good friend of mine. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.